Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
Hey, gentlemen. Show and Clinton Show, I love your show. You guys are great.
And I've been listening to 610 since back in the 80s. This is the best combination for afternoon drive time sports radio I've ever heard. Show, Clint, you guys got it going on, man. I really appreciate your show.
Oh, Show, Clint, I love the show, man.
You guys are by far my favorite show to listen to.
I love what y'all do. I'm in love with the show, man.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
I love you guys. You guys are amazing, man.
Listen to the show. Really like what you guys are doing.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Let's get this thing going today. Beautiful Thursday here in H-Town. Clint, I know you're rocking and rolling, ready to go. By the way, before we get going, we gotta give Tyler, man, he gets the Shoe of the Day Award. Man, I'm proud of him.
Are you?
Thank you, man. Thank you.
What is it that really does it for you?
I guess I'm surprised that Tyler would – that don't feel like Tyler's style that he would step out in some shoes that are –
Really?
So let's get to the bottom of it. Is it the choice of shoe, or is it that it's Tyler making the decision?
It's all of it. Like, I don't know if there are generally a lot of pair of shoes that I would wear that Tyler wears.
Like these Air Maxes,
generally,
huh?
Like, Tyler has his style. He generally runs with the Vans.
Yeah, I got
really
a lot of Vans.
His deal.
Very colorful group of Vans.
I mean, this right here looks like, I mean, he's got a Houston Oiler. I mean, just all the way through and through style Air Maxes. And they are nice. We had a little lunch today, him and his little brother. And I didn't see him when I got there. And then we left, and I saw them shoes. I said, damn, look at you, Tyler.
Damn.
I see you there.
Yeah, it's when he got up, when he made his exit, huh?
Yeah, when I saw something, I said, look at you. I mean, and I walked out in front of him. I'm telling you how good it was. I walked out in front of him. I then got in a car, looked down, saw him, opened the door,
yeah,
and said, damn, I see you, T.
Hey.
Coming out with them kicks.
Hey, look here.
I didn't know he had it in him.
I tell you, a nice shoe game is pretty powerful.
It is nice, man.
I mean, it's pretty powerful, no doubt about it.
Good for you, man. That's nice.
I appreciate the love.
A man that takes care of his feet is a friend of mine.
Are you not a friend of yourself? Because I don't believe you've taken care of your
feet. Yeah, you had that fungus.
Fungus thing.
We're talking about shoes, you two.
Oh,
that
was a fair question.
Was it?
I'm not talking about my
feet.
I do get pedicures as well.
Man that takes care of his feet.
I was referring to takes the time, effort, and spends a little bit of money to put good shoes on.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
I
greatly appreciate
that. The text line gave you a bunch of remedies that you've not even tried.
I've not tried. There's just something about when
lime juice.
I mean, we've all got those friends, right? We've all got those friends. They show up in some old raggedy ass shoes, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
It bothers me a bit.
That's just Jeff. That's what you said.
That's exactly what I expect out of Jeff.
Jeff right there. Them shoes just run over, baby. Got them Chuck Taylors.
Mowed the yard this morning in them joints.
Oh, I can't stand him with them line stains on them shoes, man. Oh, my God. All right, man. As the Texans get ready for the Bears, we have talked a lot about what we should be talking about, and that is what is stopping this team from being 2-0, and that is the offense. Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator, spoke today. Before I get to that, a lot of people have been hitting me up on the social medias with an S, talking about, you've been talking about Mills, y'all been talking about all this stuff, but how come you all are letting Pep Hamilton off the hook? You're not talking about what Pep Hamilton is.
You let him off the hook.
And I think, you know what? That's fair. We rode Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien because they deserved it. And now we do. We need to take a closer look at Pep Hamilton. Before we do, Pep Hamilton spoke today, and he was asked a question about how he evaluates his play calling so far over the last two games this year.
Obviously, it's not good enough because we hadn't been able to score enough points. And so we're looking at, you know, all the above. You know, you always go back and you self-evaluate. That's what we all do. And, you know, there are some situations where, of course, I would like to have the opportunity to call a different call. But nevertheless, I think we're a few plays away from having the opportunity to feel different after two games.
All right, that's him saying, you know, taking it. It's got to get better, obviously, when you look at scoring 14 points a game. But, Clint, well, let's do it. We've talked about Tim Kelly in years before, the past 2 years. We talked about Bill O'Brien and what they were doing, the concepts, and how they can improve things. When you look at Pep Hamilton, how much do you think Pep Hamilton gets when it comes to how poor this offense has been the last two games, specifically in the second half?
No, I mean, look, he is just like the quarterback. When it goes good, you probably don't get too much credit. When it goes bad, you probably don't get too much credit. And so I think Pep Hamilton is definitely a part of what the struggles are in Houston offensively right now. I mean, it's his offense. But I think as I look at, it's such a small sample size, I've got to look at things beyond just play calling. I hadn't seen near enough from Pep Hamilton to critique or criticize the lack of creativity, the lack of being cutting edge. I hadn't seen enough. Now we can talk about what we have seen, but I hadn't seen enough to necessarily corner Pep Hamilton one direction or another. But what we have seen is we've seen a quarterback that he's responsible for playing poorly. What I've said is regress from last year. That's a direct reflection of the offensive coordinator, any way you slice it. What we have seen is this offense go completely conservative in 1 week and blow a 17-point lead. A lot of people put that on the defense. I put that as much, if not more, on the offense. The offense goes down and scores one touchdown. The offense goes down and converts a couple of third downs, a couple of decent little drives, kicks a field goal. That game's out of reach. So I put it as much on the offense as I do anybody. And so those things, the quarterback development or the lack thereof, the regression, what we watched in that first game of just mind-boggling decisions down the stretch when it mattered the most, continuing to have Rex Burkhead on the field in passing situations and must-score situations in game two. Those are things that I look at, and the roster stuff that we talked about yesterday, Chris Conley instead of Philip Dorsett and or Tyler Johnson. Those are things that I look at Pep and I go, okay, those decisions concern me, not necessarily the X's and O's. Two games worth of X's and O's, I just refuse to either boost a guy up or, you know, be critical of the guy in two games. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, see, to me, yeah, I respect that. It is too soon to just completely just lay it out. Although to the stuff you did say, you know, if he's cutting edge or, you know, creative with what he's done, I'll bring this to you. Have you seen any of that in the first two games? Have you seen a level of cutting edge or creativity just in what we have the first two games? Because, I mean, I could think of maybe how he got, how he was able to scheme O.J. Howard open, you know, in game one. Maybe that's it. But I would say I've not seen any kind of creativity.
Yeah, no, I would say in a two-game span, he's not shown anything that puts me in a position where I'm like, man, this dude is the answer. I mean, Pep Hamilton this is cutting edge. This is creative. This is just, we're right there. You just got to either get the horses that can do it or you got to, you know, you're just one missed tackle away from breaking a long one, or damn, the quarterback just didn't see this guy or that guy. I don't see a whole hell of a lot of that. I don't see a lot of guys getting schemed open, for being completely honest. But again, it's two games in his first year calling plays here with really, I mean, he's limited ammo wise outside of Damian Pierce and Brandon Cooks right now. So I look towards some of the other things to be concerned about more so than the X's and O's at this point.
See, my two biggest things with him, and I give him a certain amount. If we had a percentage, I'd say 35-40% I would lay at Pep Hamilton. Obviously, as you said, he does not have, let's say, the talent or the bullets that like a Mike McDaniel has with Miami. He doesn't have those weapons. But my two biggest complaints is, one, game one, after we heard from Lovie Smith, Lovie Smith took a lot of the blame for things. The one thing he didn't take the blame for was how much Damian Pierce was in the game. And the way that Lovie Smith answered that made it seem to me that it was Pep Hamilton's decision on the personnel groupings that he was having in the game, late in the game, that led to the touches that Rex Burkhead got as opposed to Damian Pierce. So if that is the case, which it seems like, listening to Lovie, like, that's a problem, because I do believe if it were flipped, I think the Texans beat the Colts if Damian Pierce was the one who had 18 carries and 20 touches or whatever, as opposed to what he had in the first game. And then the other thing is, everything you're saying, he doesn't have the bullets. I still believe it's a little bit on him, that the only way it seems like Brandon Cooks touches the ball has to be by Davis Mills completing it to him.
You know what?
There's no, or I mean, and completing it to him down the field. Like, I would think, all right, Brandon Cooks is my guy. All right, I'm going to have a screen that I'm going to get to him. I'm going to have a jet sweep in which I touch, well, I know he's going to touch the ball. And if he doesn't get the ball, then it is completely on, you know, Mills or something. And the same with Nico Collins. I think that is an issue of the playmakers that he has at his disposal. And they're not playmakers like other teams have, but they're the best ones here. I feel like he's not doing a good enough job so far of getting the ball in their hands and making sure it's in their hands.
Yeah, look, the one part that I'll agree with, and I've said this since Brandon Cooks became a Houston Texan, I don't understand how the guy's not catching a jet sweep a quarter. I know, especially when you're even in the indie game, when you're in a situation where, you know, you're being conservative and Rex Burkhead's back there. Like, I don't know how at that point in time you're not getting Brandon Cooks either some kind of jet sweep or that little ghost motion where they wrap around the back of the quarterback afterwards, catch it and turn it and pitch it to him. Like, I don't understand.
Those are guarantee plays that they're going to get in his hands.
I agree wholeheartedly. Like, he could be used more creatively. And there's no doubt, if we get 6-8 games into this season and Pep Hamilton's not doing those kind of things, then I think it's right to question the creativity of the offense. When it's all said and done, Brandon Cooks is a guy. It's about more than Brandon Cooks just being able to catch a jet sweep and turn a corner for 10 or 12 yards or a big yard or, you know, a big gain or a home run. It's about creating opportunity. If that's a big part of your offense, then all of a sudden the defense has to be accountable for that. Now all of a sudden you've got flow one way and you got Damian Pierce out the back door. You know, you got flow one way, you got linemen getting up on linebackers with different kind of leverage where they can just seal guys completely off. And now you've got more space for Damian Pierce. So when we talk about the effort to create more opportunities for Damian Pierce, I think you're leaving something on the table if you're not using Brandon Cooks the way that I think Brandon Cooks is best used. We'll see. Again, two games, one of them in which you got an early lead that you didn't expect. And so I think you went into kind of save mode right there and maybe didn't show your best offense for the second and third quarter of that indie game. Just after such a small sample size, I'm going to hold off. But there's definitely concerns, to your point, Joe. There's definitely concerns. You go watch San Francisco's run game and then watch the Texans' run game. Leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, someone just said to me, "Show, he got 12 targets. He's getting double-digit targets, Brandon Cooks."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I would argue, one, Mills is missing some, and he dropped a touchdown pass. I don't want to leave that out either. Cooks dropped a touchdown pass against Denver. I just don't think they're high percentage ones either. Like, I think there could be more ways where, hey, man, we know he's going to get it. We know he's going to get it. These are down the five, 10 yards down the field where it's in coverage. I'm talking about a screen where Jay, just get it out there and get it in his hands and let's just get touches and get him the ball.
Yeah, and that's something that I think, they did it in the first drive last week in Denver. But it's something that you'd like to see. Again, with the lack of playmakers on this offense, you'd like to see them find more creative ways to get it to Cooks. I think that's a fair criticism. I fully expect Pep Hamilton to do those things. That's
right. So we'll see if that continues tonight, man. Thursday night football.
Come on.
Got the Steelers and the Browns, and I know Texans fans. This is the other team that you root for, whoever the hell is playing the Browns because of that draft pick. Tonight, this ain't your favorite quarterback battle, Mitch Trubisky versus Jacoby Brissett. Where is your entertainment excitement level for this game?
Well, I can feel.
I know you can get yourself excited about Mac football. So yeah. I mean,
doesn't take much. I can get into a Steeler Browns matchup. I can get into, like, I want to see what Mitch Trubisky's about. I think Mitch is in a better place than he was, obviously, with Chicago. And this is Mitch's career. Whether it's in Pittsburgh or it's somewhere else down the road, this is Mitch's career. You're either going to be the Mitch Trubisky that everybody has said you were, even though you were living in the middle of some extreme dysfunction and adversity in Chicago, or you're going to mature, develop, grow, and become somebody that, and you don't have to become, you don't have to meet the expectations of being a top five. Was he one?
Two.
You don't have to meet the expectations to be the number two overall pick. You just got to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in this league. I can get into that. And look, I'll be honest with you, these two teams outside of quarterback play, boy, they're pretty damn good. They're pretty damn good. A lot of good football players at this, so it's going to be fun to watch.
No TJ Watt, but Myles Garrett is supposed to go tonight. So it's entertaining. It's entertaining watch. We'll see. Cleveland, we'll see if they have that elf in the middle of the field like they had.
Oh, yeah, their new logo.
That little evil elf they've got.
I kind of like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, of course you would. All right, so, Thursday night football tonight. Still a big watch for Texans fans because that first round pick, it all is predicated on what the Browns do this year.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, back at it here. Hey, Clint, listen, the injury report will come out here and we will let you know what it is. But two things that has already been seen by folks that were at practice. Tight ends Brevin Jordan and Pharaoh Brown both did not practice today.
Where art thou?
Brevin, this is 2 days in a row. He did not practice on Wednesday, and now we see Pharaoh Brown also. I mean, these are, damn it, man.
Right,
the top two tight ends on the team not practicing on Thursday. This is 2 days in a row for Brevin Jordan, which really is alarming. And then Pharaoh not practicing on Thursday. This is the last big practice day, right? Yeah. And that is that. You talked about a thin linebacker group. Now we're talking about this tight end group right here. Could be problematic.
Yeah, I tell you, on the film, Pharaoh Brown doesn't look like he's moving well. He doesn't look like he's moving well. And I don't know if it's an injury. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't look like
he had the hamstring coming towards the end of camp.
There's something slowing him down. Everything's not firing on all cylinders like we've seen. I mean, I'm not watching that athletic, guy that can create a mismatch, if you will, when you get him on a linebacker or a safety. So, no surprise that he's now sidelined is one thing, but no surprise that he's, either missing practice or rehabbing something, because he looks like something's not firing for him on from a health perspective.
Yeah, and now this seems even more alarming, or at least more important from what Lovey said yesterday, talking about we're really happy with that tight end room. We got Jordan Akins, who it feels like Jordan Akins is going to play.
Well,
it seems like he's going to be active.
Look, I mean, barring another injury, you can argue that they're both upgrades. I mean, you're talking about a veteran in Jordan Akins, having seen more, done more in the league than Brevin Jordan has. I think Brevin Jordan obviously is a better athlete. But from what I've seen, I don't think it's a stretch to say O.J. Howard's better than Pharaoh Brown. I mean, it's regardless of where one was drafted, and you line them up together right now, one of them, and I'm not even talking about the two touchdowns week one, one of them's moving like a super athletic tight end in the NFL, the other one's not. And so you can argue that right now the best two tight ends for this football team are the two that are available. So it's thin.
If this may change, if they roll in here with two tight ends, yeah, right, this has to completely change how they operate.
Yeah, I mean,
in a way.
Yeah, you got to hopefully.
You've been asking for them to come out of them two and three tight ends.
They were in a lot of 11 personnel last week from a percentage perspective, but there just seems to be some very interesting times that they go to 22 personnel with two tight ends in a full field and three tight end sets. Just seems to be interesting to me. I think they're better off in those situations if they stay spread. But nonetheless, I think this is. You know, both of these tight ends give them the opportunity to spread this thing out a little bit and continue in that approach offensively. Now, I don't know how that relates to ground and pound and what Lovie Smith is going to want, but we'll see. They're
basically what you're telling me. If Brevin Jordan and Pharaoh Brown don't play on Sunday,
I'm not worried about it. Here's the perfect situation. I would like to see O.J. Howard and Brevin Jordan running this thing. That's the two that I'd ultimately perfect world. Those are the two that I'd like to see what they can do together.
So are you doing it? Are you moving?
What's
on
that?
From Pharaoh?
Oh, I just don't think he's ready. And there's something holding him back right now. Like he's not.
Oh, this is an injury thing.
He doesn't look like the dude that I expect him to look like.
Oh, Tyler, I thought he was throwing in the towel on Pharaoh Brown.
No, he's
finally about to do it right.
No, he's got to get healthy and he's got to make plays and until that happens, it's hard to keep beating that drum. At this point in time, we've seen O.J. Howard make plays. If you watch the film, O.J. Howard looks like He looks like a big, super athletic tight end when he's moving, when he's running routes. And Brevin Jordan, we know who he is. I would, perfect world, I'd like to see those two on the field together sometimes. That'd be a good 12 package.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. So both tight ends, both guys who are starting tight ends on the sidelines did not practice today. We'll get the rest of the injury report to you. All right, we had Seth Payne on, who you can hear every day, with Payne and Pendergast, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We had him on Tuesday, and he was talking about this defense and how he views them. Listen to what Seth had to say.
They could be a credible defense, I think, as time goes by, if they figure a few simple things out. They're a few tweaks away from being a credible defense, and a lot of that just hinges on, obviously, the growth of the rookies and the continued improvement of the pass rush.
See, when I heard him say that Tuesday, I was thinking, I don't know if I agree with that. But then we've talked a little bit more this week. And I am really confused how I feel about this team. Obviously, I think the defense is the strength of this team, Clint, but they have had some pretty good fortune with the Broncos and the Colts not finishing off drives. But how much is that the Texans and those teams? Because, look, I think the Colts missed opportunities. Pierce dropped a touchdown pass. The other kid, number 16 for the Colts, he dropped a touchdown pass as well. A foot, just a toenail, pushed Sutton out of the end zone, and then Nathaniel Hackett was just being Nathaniel Hackett. But they're really good in the red zone, Clint, which is a good hallmark for a good defense. They're pretty good on third down. The Broncos were 3 of 12 on third down in this past game. The Colts were 6 of 15. And, I mean, they turned the ball over. They've gotten their offense the ball with Jerry Hughes getting a pick and Christian Kirksey. So, I mean, they do some things that good teams do, but I cannot ignore the fact that the Broncos and Colts offense have just shot themselves in the foot a few times. So it's kind of odd, to kind of confusing to figure out, you know, how to really look at this defense.
Yeah, it's not real hard for me. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the defense. I think they've done some good things in the red zone, so it's and like you said, they've done some good things on third down. But if you're just looking at stats, right? But if you watch those games like we watch the games, you realize like the one ball that the guy caught in the back of the end zone last week, and it was called incomplete. I can't remember who the receiver was. The tip ball at the line.
Yeah,
the running back standing there wide open, 2 yards deep in the end zone, waving his arms. That's who Russell Wilson's trying to throw the ball to. And somebody tips it, and it still almost got caught. So, I mean,
they made a play. They tipped it.
That's fair. That's fair. You say you're making, but at some point in time, you're not going to get lucky like that. At some point in time, you're not going to be able to survive by things like the fortunate things like that happening in the red zone. So, you know, I'm very, very suspect of the defense. I think week one versus any opponent, you got to be really careful of how you value anything that you do positive, because teams just aren't playing in the preseason. You don't know what you're getting. You're not getting a team's best shot for damn sure. And somehow in week two, the Texans caught a David Culley type coach and a struggling team there as well. So, I think they're gonna struggle mightily stopping the run. Like I think right now I'm on record of saying, like, I know from a stat perspective they didn't stop the run last week, but when I watched the game, I was A-okay with the run defense. I was A-okay with the defense and the way that they played in that ball game. I think there's gonna come a time when teams just run through them from a running perspective, and that's gonna be a problem.
All right, looking for angles, looking for an edge as you're picking games this weekend, check out the BetQL Network. Live odds, real-time projections, and weekly best bets. Whether you're an amateur bettor or trying to be one of the sharp BetQL minds out there, BetQL will help you work smarter, not harder. BetQL is the home of wagertainment. Find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, man, big one. How huge is this game for Jimbo Fisher? Clint said he may be potentially in some in some water this year. Hell, they didn't lost already to App State. How important is this game on Saturday for Jimbo Fisher? We'll discuss next.
Read it off sliced bread.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
WPS, we'll pick Sui.
You got it.
And how about it?
4-0 for the Razorbacks as they upset the Aggies and end a nine-game losing skid against Texas A&M.
That courtesy of CBS Sports' Brad Nessler on the call last year when Arkansas, in Jerry's world in Dallas.
There it was. Glory hole.
That's right. Maybe he misses that hole that used to be in the – maybe that's what he's talking about, that used to be in Texas Stadium.
Texas Stadium?
And maybe that's what Jerry's talking about, that glory hole. Or maybe
– There it was, glory hole.
Maybe another one. They get back together again today, coming up on Saturday. Arkansas, number 10 in the country, A&M 24. This is a huge game for Jimbo. To me, Clint, and you said it before the year. You're like, hey, things could get a little hairy for him. Now, I didn't think they were going to lose to Appalachian State. I didn't think he was going to change his quarterback by week two. Also, so I'd after 2 weeks, change his quarterback. So they are in a heck of a spot. But Clint, I think in College Station, psycho fans like Tyler can handle A&M being behind Alabama or LSU. But with the way they've recruited, I don't think they can handle being behind Arkansas. And I think that would potentially be a big problem. And people would view and feel different about Jimbo if they lose to Arkansas.
It does piss me off.
2 years in a row, Clint, on a neutral site, and clearly behind Arkansas in the SEC West and in the SEC. That, to me, would be a problem for Jimbo.
Yeah, look, I've said it before. I think it's a major problem now. I mean, the buyout's so big, there's nothing that even Texas A&M at maroon money can't do anything.
No, I'm not talking about fireable.
The point is the rumblings will start and the seat will be hot and maybe hot for a couple of years, but it'll be an unpleasant year for Jimbo, unpleasant offseason for Jimbo, and this is a huge game. There's no question about it, man. I mean, he's. You follow up a loss to App State after a year where you disappointed last year. I think anybody in all of college football, not just in College Station, but all of college football, that doesn't have a suspect eye on what's going on in College Station. I think they're lying to you if they don't.
I don't know what this game comes down to. I'm sure you have a thought if this comes down to. I look at it, I'm like, all right, Max. All right, he's got Max Johnson in the game for a reason here. And does it come down to does Max make enough plays for them to be able to hang offensively with Arkansas?
I mean, this is the thing. I think when I look at the Arkansas A&M game, for me, I think if you look at the strengths of the programs, I think Arkansas's strength is stronger than A&M's strength right now. In terms of Arkansas's offense is the strong point of the program. I believe that big picture, all of college football, I believe they're more dominant of a unit and better at what they do right now than the A&M defense is at what they do right now.
Bro,
that's not knocking A&M's defense because they're really, really good. But I think Arkansas wins the strength on strength. And then when you look at the weakness of each team, you look at A&M's offense, and you'd be hard pressed to find a unit that's been more disappointing in college football, at least with the teams that are in the rankings and in and out of the rankings over the first month of the season. Arkansas's not been good on defense. They've missed several DBs that they missed in every facet, physically being able to play, leadership. They're struggling defensively. But I believe that Arkansas's weakness is better than A&M's weakness. And so I think this is a year where Arkansas is actually the better football team, if we're being honest.
Mm, you weren't sure about that last year.
No. I thought it was a good matchup, and kind of like I just did right there, where I think you always got to look into the matchups of what's going on. I thought Arkansas matched up well with what we knew was true about A&M. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have an offensive line, which they still don't, but I'm talking about last year. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have an offensive line. I knew they were going to have their hands full with Arkansas. If you've got an offensive line and you've got an identity and you've got a quarterback, you can push Arkansas around up front. But if you don't have those things, then Arkansas is going to get home. Barry Odom's going to scheme some things up, and they're going to cause problems. And so last year, I liked the matchup for Arkansas. I wasn't as confident last year as I am this year.
Mm. This one still feels, because if they lose, if A&M loses this game, I think they fall out of the top 25. If they lose this game where they are.
Probably so, yeah. Two losses, App State and Arkansas. Yeah, I would say that
they'd fall out of the top 25. And this may be the first – oh, God, Tyler didn't want to hear this. This may be the first time, like in a long time, Texas fans can just laugh at A&M.
Why is that?
I mean, Texas would feel like they're a better team right now.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
See, like A&M's been able to kind of have fun with this. Like Texas would be ranked. A&M wouldn't be ranked. Texas, many people would look at and feel like they're the better team.
I didn't think about that, Tyler.
Would be the better football team. Texas played Alabama. The way they played Alabama, hell, people are almost treating that like a win.
They are. It's a great effort.
I'm just saying, listen, you could play with this. There would be and I know you wouldn't, and many of your A&Mites wouldn't stand down.
A&Mites.
I know y'all wouldn't stand down, but Texas would have a point. Oh, y'all done lost to App State. Y'all can't beat Arkansas 2 years in a row.
Texas just needs to focus on beating Kansas.
And y'all ain't in the top 25. You gotta win, Jimbo. That's where the fan base is gonna look at. Damn it, now I gotta take it from these Arkansas fans. Damn it, I gotta take it from Texas now.
I don't mind confrontation.
Well, I just think you gotta show you hit the you, you I didn't think. I wasn't even thinking.
I've been thinking about that.
If Texas wins and A&M loses,
Texas will be
ranked and A&M won't.
No, yes. This is the first time in a long time.
How's that hit you,
Bo? Let that ring.
Well, it all starts on the predication that A&M loses this week, so I'm not too worried about it.
Oh. This man just told you.
Oh, I heard him.
This college football analyst.
I heard him.
Obviously.
And I believe every word he said.
Not impartial at all. But this college, football analyst, Clint Sterner, just told you Arkansas has the better football team. Hell, they're in the top 10. Listen, I mean, all right, I won't look at him when I say this. I mean, they almost got App State at home as well last week, but they didn't.
They didn't.
No, they didn't. They won by 11.
They didn't. All right. But
they didn't.
He's quick with that double digit lead. But you don't. So you feel confident. You feel as confident as Clint.
I feel good about this weekend. Yeah.
You need it, man. You and your A&Mites need it, because I'm telling you, Texas
Aggies.
Fans. I'm just telling you. Listen, Landry didn't forget about you hitting him up during Kansas.
Oh, I know.
He is ready. All right, there are folks on the text line, people riding right now. God, please let A&M lose. And we're sitting here, Texas, we're sitting here like 19th or 18th in the polls.
Longhorn Nation.
And A&M is falling out because they can't beat a team that they are clearly more talented, right? Like overall, A&M out talents Arkansas. Maybe not in some of the
positions.
I'd
say on paper, if you put the stars up there, I think that's.
Well, that's most everybody. Don't feel bad about that.
Oh, I don't feel bad about it. I mean, that same sheet was lopsided last year when it failed. But yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't. Here's the thing. I feel like and this is possible. This is possible, not likely, but possible. We hadn't seen Max Johnson and Jimbo Fisher together with all of his guns. We hadn't seen Jimbo Fisher, Max Johnson with the Evan Stewart kid, and then what's Marshall's first name? The freshman receiver Marshall, last name Marshall.
Oh, these are guys that were suspended.
They were suspended last week, and so we haven't seen, the two, what I would say, those are their two best wide receivers. And Anaya Smith is more of a utility guy, kind of a slot. I mean, he's a great player, not knocking him. I'm saying, like, true wide receivers, those are the two dudes that change the game. So I think if Max Johnson comes out there, which is very, very possible because Arkansas's defense has been suspect, Max Johnson's got to come out there and Evan Stewart, like, when this game's over, everybody in America has to know who Evan Stewart is. Am I saying that right, Evan Stewart? Everybody's got to know.
That's correct.
Everybody's got to know who Evan Stewart is. And everybody's got to be gawking over Evan Stewart like, golly, this dude is the next great. If that don't happen, if it's just another one of these abysmal, just what are they doing offensively, can't move the ball, can't protect the quarterback, can't run the football, Arkansas wins it convincingly.
Another part to this, and you just said this, that kind of made me think of it, is A&M is really screwed by that targeting rule. They got two guys in the secondary that I don't think can play in the first half of this game.
I know Damani Richardson, the safety for A&M, he's missing the first quarter.
Is it a quarter? I thought it was half. I thought when you got, oh, maybe he missed.
Yeah,
missed
I think it's a quarter. Half that you have to miss, and I think he missed the fourth quarter of last game.
They had two guys go out and target him. Mm-hmm. So they may not have some.
Such a stupid rule, by the way. Not even Aggie fandom aside, I cannot stand that rule in college football for any program.
I agree wholeheartedly. I hate it.
With that being so tight, it may have something to do with it. Real quick, can someone please remind Show and Clint that the Aggies have beaten the Hogs 9 out of 10 years? Jimbo has beaten him 3 out of 4 years. Last year was an aberration for Sam Pittman.
Well, we know, but also it's all about the most recent game, so.
That was so mature.
I love that's a big step.
That's a huge step.
Was that an old text from Tyler or something?
No,
because that sounds like something right Tyler would have said a month
right
ago
there, from the 409.
Yeah, I mean that's just like, I mean, why would you? Why? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. Just let it go.
I mean, I can always push back, but you just lost to App State.
Yeah, not a good time to be bringing up the record against Arkansas.
You can always, I mean, you're talking about 10 years ago.
You got pushed around.
I mean, stop it. And you're talking about Arkansas was one of the most dysfunctional programs in America for 5 of those years. What are you talking about?
Y'all know I love Arkansas.
And Bobby did get a little horned up there for a second. All right, the Astros, they sweep the Rays. But the story is what they're allowing Lance McCullers to do. We'll discuss that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.